direct. From Guano Productions headquarters in the Los Angeles Underground, it's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex. It's like honey in your ear holes.
Welcome back to The Superiority Complex, everybody. It is part two of our Halloween super spectacular. You guys thought I was going to say spooktacular. I'm not going to do that.
That's so cliche.
By the way, Christmas decorations are already going up. We drove by the Citadel on the way to Dodger Stadium. Rest in peace, Dodgers. And they were already putting up, I know. Sorry. They were, speaking of Halloween horror, they just played game six in St. Louis. Or they didn't even play. They were in the stadium, but game six was last night. Oh, God, that was awful. But they were already putting the bow up on the Citadel, like on the front of it, a big crane. Let me eat my turkey, you bastards. That's all I want. Ricky the Wonder Dog is here. He missed out on our first episode, but he wants in this episode. So it's the same cast we had last week, everybody. Tawny is here.
Yo.
Lauren is here.
Yo.
Angel is here.
Howdy.
And Husker's nephew is here.
I no longer have a name.
Tony, Angel, Lauren, and Tawny, and Ricky, we're all here. Now, we're going to dedicate this whole X. We're going to go straight through without any breaks. We're going to try anyway. Hopefully, we won't have any interruptions. But the reason Tawny wanted to reach out to Tony and Angel is because they have a unique experience. No, wait. Are you two as well, Angel? Or okay. They worked. You know, if you grew up in Southern California, L.A. or Orange County, you've been to a Halloween haunt at Knott's Berry Farm or at the Queen Mary or at Universal Studios at least once in your life. And you guys have some experience in that area because now what have you done? You know, you guys hold the record for most visits to Halloween. No, that's not true.
No.
They actually work behind the scenes as monsters.
Yes, we do.
You didn't do it this year, right?
No, this is my first year off. I've done it for the last 15 years. I started in 98.
And you, now tell us, give us what you did.
I did 6 years at Not Scary Farm. Then I went to, at the time it was called Shipwrecked at the Queen Mary. And I was there for 5 years. Then I went up to Universal Studios and did Halloween Horror Nights for 2 years. And then I went back to the Queen Mary to their new event, which is called Dark Harbor, which is off the hook. And I was there for another 2 years. So, yeah, total, like I said, total 15 years straight. Every October, I get all my gear out, and I get to run around and scare the hell out of people, and they pretty much pay me for it. I do it for free, but don't tell anybody else that, because they've been dumb enough to pay me for the last.
Daddy said if you're good at something, don't do it for free.
Now, yeah. Is that a vest you're wearing from...
Yes, it is a... quasi uniform for the team. We all wear it. We all have.
For those of you who know, it's like a Sons of Anarchy cut, but it says Shipwreck Original on it. It's so cool.
And I'm showing the back.
We're going to take a picture of it for the show. On the back, Queen Mary slide. I love. So you're a slider.
Sliders
are the guys that come on the ground. And what kind of gear do you wear?
We have vert pads for our knees, we have steel toed boots. I wear shin guards because I slide different than maybe this guy does.
So you're both sliders?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then the other piece of equipment is the gloves that have metal washers on the palms and then conduit joints on the fingers. So when we slide on the ground, we don't tear our hands to pieces. So.
Wow.
So because you guys have been doing it so long, and like I imagine there's like a small group of the total like employee group that does the sliding? Is that like the elite team? Like you guys have to know how to do it?
I think that's kind of why we wear the jackets, because there's only 10 of us, 10 to 12 of us at any one time.
They're like the Viper pilots.
I got a cut in here. at every theme park I've worked at, everybody looks to the sliders as if they are something better. And I'm not going to say that the sliders... Because it's not us. A lot of people try and put us up here. And it's not about us being up here. We're just the guys that are crazy enough and stupid enough to throw our bodies on the ground time after time, night after night. Does it make us any more important than the guy who's standing in the maze scaring you? No, it doesn't. I mean, everybody has a role to fill there. Yeah. So for us to be like, we're the elite, no. But we are fewer because it is a much more physically demanding job.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be in shape to be able to run and slide, and you're going to get bumps and bruises. And we have people who go out and they do it for a week and they're done.
They can't hack it.
They can't handle it. So to say we're the elite, we are to an extent, but I don't want it to sound like, oh yeah, we're right. the you know, the shit over here. No, we're not.
Your colleagues here, though.
Yeah, we're not.
So who's on the bottom of the totem pole?
Those would be the blackouts who stand there with the flashlight and tell you, you got to keep moving.
But they're important.
But again, they're important because if not, nobody would go past my room. Everybody would just stop.
Everybody
and be
would
like,
be
I'm
lost
going in there.
In the
it's going to scare me.
So are you in the maze or are you just roaming
I've done
the
both.
Park?
Yeah. When I first started out, I started out as a maze monster. Usually,
I think everybody has to start
out.
Now, for those that like, they just did a little on NPR, KPCC has a show called Off Ramp, which is like local LA stuff. And they went into the history of Knott's Scary Farm and how like Knott's basically did it because it would slow down in the fall and it was a way to get. And Knott's is basically the granddaddy of them all.
Yeah.
And if
yeah,
you've
that,
never
yeah.
been, if you've never been, it's amazing how that park is transformed from being there in the daytime to being there in the night. It's like a completely different place.
And I'd say, listeners, you know, I've gone like probably for like the last 6 years, but this last year I thought was better than I can remember. It was
and he wasn't
really
there,
like,
so
really,
make,
like,
thanks
sorry,
for making
sorry,
him feel
sorry,
better.
Sorry.
It's all
right. Well, they had like
Let's
a lot of like,
this
atmosphere. Atmosphere. It was great, though.
Well, now they have, I mean, I think there, I would guess, is there more competition now?
There's a
been?
New haunt every year. Something's always
yeah.
starting. I think the business is trying to turn to the more theatrical, not so much the pop out and scares. There's stuff like the Purge, Fear the Night, is now going on in L.A., where they pretty much lock you into a room and it's a 2-3-4 hour event.
Yeah,
and like they'll feed you and then they'll scare you and then you know, they have another one called Delusion, which is it's almost like a play.
It's like they
I have
put
a friend
like a bag
who works
on
that.
Your head and they do all kinds of
yeah.
I was reading like a cracked article about one guy's experience, like one of the
Oh
writers.
He went to I read that article. He went
yeah.
to Blackout.
Blackout.
And it's like I said, they're trying to get you more immersed because the old tricks are they still work, but people who have done it for years are starting to get a little jaded. So they're trying to up the ante. I know Rob Zombie actually has something going on in Pomona.
Great American Scare.
Yeah.
Lauren had posted an article in the, from the LA Weekly about like 10, it wasn't like 10 best, was it like?
It was, yeah, like 10 like best like haunted attractions or something. Or
but it had,
like,
they all
best.
Had different categories. Like,
Disneyland was number one, right?
Yeah.
Disney. Mickey's.
Mickey.
Yes. Trick or Treat on Main Street.
Yeah. So do you guys, what drew you to be monsters in the first place? What was it?
I started going to Knott's Scary Farm when I was about 15. And I had a blast. Like, it was so much fun. And I got to be about 18 and I realized that I wasn't getting scared anymore. I was going through the mazes and I was like, oh, there's going to be a guy around this corner. Or I bet you there's someone that, out of all the dummies, that's the real guy.
That's where I'd hide.
And so I realized that it was my turn to go on the other side of the mask.
Yeah.
And so one day I come home from work and my mom's like, hey, I saw this in the newspaper. They're hiring people to do this Halloween thing at Knott's Berry Farm. You should go try it out. Went down, I applied, I got the job. Again, I've been doing it for 15 years. And every year since there, my mom still looks at me and goes, hi. You're still doing that? And all I can do is look at her and say, hey, it's your fault. You're the one that gave me the ad. And she just shakes her head and walks away.
So is it different working from, you know, you've worked at Queen Mary, you've worked at Universal. How different is it, you know, how different is each?
Each park is got its own good and bad points. And I mean, where you're located is going to draw where your employees are coming from, where your guests are coming from.
Yeah.
You know, everything plays in who's coming, who you have working with you. Like Knott's has great monsters.
Yeah.
Really, I can't take anything against them. They got a lot of heart. Universal has great makeup, which they should. They're a movie studio. Yeah. So everybody has good points and bad points, and you just kind of got to roll with it. And then you have a lot of the independent, you know, smaller gigs that we know people who work at the Sinister Point and Haunted Hayride out in Hollywood. And
is that the Griffith Park one?
Yeah. You know, and those, they're smaller, but they're still... The heart is there in the people.
Yeah.
And that's really where...
That's where you're...
If it wasn't for the people, yeah, none of these theme parks would be successful.
Yeah.
Because these are the guys who are out there day in, day out, putting on the gear, putting on the makeup, and to some extent, putting up with the people that are coming in.
Sure. So, it's like any other job we have to deal with the public, I would imagine, where you're going to get people who try to... You just scared a guy in front of his girlfriend, so now he's got to step up.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one.
I'm sure that happens a lot. I can imagine.
Can you guys talk about that? Like, yeah, like, who you, like, oh, God, I have to scare this guy, or, oh, this guy's coming down the pipeline, or a girl, like, you know, like,
can you tell who will scare you?
And also, what is the most, who are the most satisfying people to scare? Like, are there certain people that you're the most, you're going, yes, I got him. Yeah, I mean,
go ahead, man, you start this one.
Well, I think after years of doing it, you can finally start to read people's faces a little bit and kind of see where their terror level is. Yeah. You can see the anxiousness. You can see them looking around. You can see them hiding closer to their boyfriend or not paying attention at all, but still kind of anxious and on edge. And I think that's how we do it. Not so much that we go after, like, a certain race or a certain sex or, you know, a kid or an adult or a guy or a girl.
When somebody is coming by and they look really terrified, do you, like, oh, I'm going to let them pass? Or you're like, oh, they're...
Well, that's how you do it. You build up the anxiousness. You don't get them because they're expecting you to do it. So you don't. You just kind of give them a look and walk away. But that's when you circle around and come around and get them again. Because that's where it's at, you know? You got to give them the surprise. You got to not let them see you coming. And then I think as sliders, that's our biggest thing is we come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
We have to be in nowhere. So if I'm right in front of you, I'm right in front of you. So now I got to go find my nowhere spot. So.
Yeah, I took my daughter trick-or-treating last year, and there's a couple houses where we go, and they, you know, they kind of do like a... They'll have like, it's a bunch of teenagers and they'll be out there with like Freddy masks and stuff. And they'll let the little kids pass and they'll kind of scare the teenage girls that come up. The guy that got the most people, and he got me, he did the large march. I did the large march. You know what he did? He turned off all his lights, put the candy dish out on the porch. And when you turned around, was in complete, just a black suit, just black nylon suit. Just sitting Indian style in like a corner of his patio, and you would get the cat, you would get it, and then he would just turn around, and as you do it, he would stand up and go, Happy Halloween. You're like, yeah! But you would walk right, everybody, and then everybody would stand and wait because everybody would just walk, you'd walk right past him. You wouldn't see, he was just in the shadow, and then all of a sudden, he would just stand up and like wave and go, Happy Halloween. He was like, yeah, my God. He totally got me. Like, he totally, I did the, I did the large march.
See, that's why everybody builds their own monster.
It wasn't even, I was just like, okay, there's nobody here. They left candy out. Let's go get candy. And I wasn't expecting it. So the girls were like, he let the girls go. And then after they passed, he like stood up and I was like, oh my God.
You know something I was curious about? Do you guys got to like create your monsters or your characters? And do they assign them? And how does that process happen?
Good question, Laura.
Knott's and Universal are a little more scripted. They have an idea of what monsters they want, where they want them.
What they got
to
look like.
To some extent, if you have like an idea, they'll work with you. Like when I first started at Knott's, I was a werewolf. Mm-hmm. They gave me a cheesy werewolf mask. It had this big teethy grin. I hated it. I went out, bought my own werewolf mask. I brought it in. I got it approved. Cool. They were cool with that. So I got to be, to some extent, my own version of me.
Yeah.
Do you remember, I have to interrupt you for a second. Do you remember running into me at, you were dressed as a wolf.
Ricky.
I did not recognize you for being, I don't know if you would, but I could not remember this. I was there with my college roommate, and we had, like, a bunch of my friends had moved to LA after graduating from college, and we all went. And I was standing on the bridge, and one of the jokes between me and my roommate was I knew everybody who lived in Southern California, because you walk around Whittier, and in Whittier, it's like, oh, hey, that's my cousin, hey, that's, you know, that's the guy that my, you know.
It's kind of typical for Whittier.
Yeah,
right?
So,
just go to Target,
we're standing around in Not Scary Farm, and a wolf comes up and says, Tony Ochoa. And I was like, it was this guy. But I didn't, you know, you had the full mask on.
Look like that?
Probably. Maybe, you know what? I felt like it was scarier than
that. Oh, that is awesome. Mm-hmm. You got to send me some of those pictures so we can post them.
But my roommate was like, you really do know everyone.
You know, I won't lie. I've run into quite a few people
I'm
I
sure
know
you,
while
I
scary.
I was going to ask you guys that. I'm sure you see people that you know.
And it's a lot of fun to mess with their heads. Yeah. Especially when I'm like, at that time I was in a mask. I wasn't in prosthetics or face paint mm-hmm. yet. So you really can't tell who's who.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to love coming up to people and just,
yeah.
like, because I'll totally get into my character and I'll be like, hey, Toddy, how you doing?
Yeah.
You
know?
And then you really don't know. And it's like, how do you know me? And it's like, oh, I know you went to Pioneer High School, you
yeah.
know, start naming personal things. And it really freaks people out.
You're like
out.
The yeah. demon at Biola.
Kind of. Okay. There is a girl who works at Disneyland. She will... I don't know if she still does. This was years ago. But she worked at costuming. I didn't know her name, but I knew she had given me my costume 50 times since I'd gone to pick it up. And I saw her in my full wolf costume, and I walked up, and I was like, so can I have my costume? And this girl starts wigging out. She's like, how do you know that? And I'm like, I know everything. I know you work at costuming. To this day, she has no clue who I am. I left her that way because she was like, who are you? And I just walked away.
Oh,
and
my
so
God.
She, to this day, has no clue who I am.
That's such a Husker move right there.
You gotta have fun.
Mind games of the enemy right there. So, Angel, did he suck you into it? Like, when you were, you're like, hey, he's like, hey, I'm going to be a monster. You got to come do this with me.
Pretty
we share
much.
One brain. Let's do this together.
For a while, I wasn't interested. I'm like, no, you know what? I enjoy this side of the veil, of the horror. I like to be scared. I like to enjoy the sets. Like, I love doing this. And then I think later, I got what he got, where it's just like, okay, well, now I know there's someone there. There's someone here. Oh, that's nice prosthetic. You know, it just it kind of jaded me a little bit. So I'm like, I gotta up it. I gotta find out what's on the other side. And at that point, he was leaving Knott's, and he's like, let's go to the Queen Mary. They're close. All right, let's go to the Queen Mary. Let me try being a monster. And so he taught me how to slide. We learned in the backyard.
It's like Little League, man.
It's totally that. We learned in the backyard of the apartment we were at
yeah.
the time. So, yeah, no.
You really have to be a MacGyver, because we make all our own gear. Like, with the exception of our knee pads, our gloves, our boots, we make them all. Like, you go down to Home Depot and you buy a bunch of hardware. You go to the motorcycle store, get yourself some gloves. You know, Target, you get some boots. And we used to call it, we'd have Arts and Crafts Night.
Yep.
And we'd be sitting around the coffee table with hammers and crowbars and...
Tin snips
and... containers of this stuff called goop that we would just pile onto this stuff to hold it. And, you know,
wow,
it's
crazy.
It's trial and error.
Yeah.
You guys are like teachers are. Like, teachers always have to buy their own supplies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the same thing.
We probably spend a good couple $100 out of our own money to get all our gear together.
There's a budget every year.
So yeah.
Let me put it aside.
Now, do you have to have it approved by each park where you work? You have to show them your gear? And
Yeah. Universal, they gave me all my gear. Queen Mary and Knott's, we supply our own gear. And Knott's, they had you had to get stuff approved. Universal, or Queen Mary, they were a little more fly by the seat of their pants, and they pretty much kind of let us do what we wanted, which,
they knew
what
we were doing, so.
Yeah, they pretty much, we came in, at that point, they only had a couple sliders, and we came across with a couple more. There was three of us who went across. And so now it went from them having one to four. And then the next year we went to eight and then 12. And so Queen Mary's kind of been growing and we've kind of helped get that going. And, you know, we've started training new guys. We've actually initiated a test for new guys coming up at Queen Mary.
What's the test?
Yeah, it's all safety stuff. I mean, number one thing about being a slider is, you never want to hit a guest. I mean, you could really
you're rocketing at them.
You could really hurt. Yeah, you're flying at them at knee level. If you
take them out,
if somebody steps in front of you and you hit them from the side, you could break their leg. Like, it's not hard to hurt somebody.
Bend the leg backwards.
Yeah.
Oh God.
There's a lot of damage you could do. I won't mention names in this, but if this person is listening, he will know. We actually had one guy, a slider, who took out a little old lady who was a sweeper lady.
Like,
you know, she wasn't paying attention. She's walking around sweeping up the trash, and he took a slide and hit her basically at the back of the legs, and she just kind of went up and over and came down and...
Oh, my goodness.
You know, like I said, it happens.
Was she okay?
Oh, yeah, she's okay.
I just imagine bone shattering.
No, she's okay, you know. Broom went one way, dustpan the other, but she's good.
I love the fact that, I love the idea that just people sweeping, like, nonchalantly while this, you know, just all this terror, and, you know, like a zombie apocalypse, and it's a sweeper. Just doing it. I love that idea. That to me would be terrifying. I would be the most scared of that. What's up with the sweeper lady?
Again, the uncanny things coming.
The uncanny, yeah.
Nothing but chaos around her, just calm as a cucumber.
Yeah, I don't like that. The sweeper lady. As a Mexican, I'm already afraid of a lady with a broom because I know what's going to happen. I know that's coming upside my head. Do you remember when it was like the first time you scared somebody? Do you remember that? Is that something you remember? Like, you're a hunter. Like, I remember the time I bagged my first rabbit.
I can't say I remember my first one, but there are always the scares that you remember. Like, it doesn't matter that it's been 15 years. I remember that scare. Like, one of my personal favorites, and this is the first time I ever did it. I slid up, scared these two ladies, and they actually fell on top of each other. And I'm not talking, again, I said ladies, because they were not young, they were not teenagers, they were older ladies. And they fell on top of each other, and they're laughing, and the top one is climbing off, and she's telling her friend on the bottom to get up, and all I hear her friend say is, "I peed in my pants." And lo and behold, she stands up, and there's a puddle on the cement. I could do nothing other than raise my hands and go, "Yes!" and run around my area. That one will stick with me forever. I probably will never meet that lady, but her face is forever burned in my head. If I ever saw her again, I'd totally look at her and be like, "I made you pee in your pants." And she'd probably smack me.
You know, you just brought back a memory for me. When I was really little, Universal Studios used to have a guy walking around. Do you remember the old... like the Lon Chaney Phantom of the Opera mask? Have you ever seen the Lon Chaney, where it's the silent one where she pulls the... There was a guy in that costume, and they would have him standing in front of the line where the tram, we would line up to take the tram.
Oh, yeah.
And he would just stand there stone still for like, dude, this guy would go for like 15, 20. But everybody watching, because every once in a while he would just boop, like, you know, he'd just move. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget this. We were watching. This lady was like standing there. She went to go take a... her husband was going to take a picture. And all of a sudden, she just moved, and the lady just dropped. She had her purse. She dropped it and just ran away shrieking. Like, just ran away. Like, just away. Just shriek.
You've scared people out of their shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Together. That was
you've scared people what?
Out of their shoes.
Out of their shoes.
Like literally.
Out of their shoes.
We had to chase them with their shoes.
I've actually seen a buddy of mine scare a person out of a park.
Yeah.
Like, literally, we were working at the turnstiles. The guest gives their ticket. It gets scanned. They push their way through. My buddy slides up, scares them. He runs, jumps over the turnstile, turns around and goes, "You just lost yourself a customer," and walked away. He had only been in the park for about...
He already paid.
5 seconds. And done. And the rules, no remittance.
Did anyone tell him what he was going to? Like,
I have no clue. Not. But I was seriously... I fell over laughing. Like, I couldn't help it. I broke character. I literally fell over started laughing.
You laugh. You know what? Once you put on... What I've noticed is whenever you have to do something silly like that, like put on a Halloween costume or whatever... If it's a mask or something that covers your face and people don't know you, you do kind of get into that for a second where you're like, okay, like, I, you know, like, So does that, are you guys just in, like the minute you guys put the makeup and the gear on, you guys are in character pretty much? Or like, is there talking going on in the maze before people are coming like, check out this dude, here he comes. Is that like,
oh yeah.
Is there a lot of that?
There's a lot of communication, you know, like if we're out on the streets together and we're standing there, we may co-op in a scare. Like, all right, hey, go out there and stand in the middle of there. And that way everybody sees him. And while they're all looking at him, I'm going to come from the side and just whoosh, and then I'll stand in the middle and he'll go hide somewhere.
It's a tag team.
You know, we work together, or I'll scare this dude and I know, and I'll see him headed down and I'll run up to him and be like, hey, check it out. The guy in the blue Dodgers jersey, he's, you know, 300 pounds, 6'4", but he screams and runs like a girl.
That's me.
Boom. He's going to go get him. You know, that's so me. We pass stuff on like, hey, this is a good group. Or, hey, go get those group. Or stay away from that dude. He swings on you. Because not everything is good.
Yeah.
Not all scares are good.
We've been surrounded by groups of guys. We've had guys square up on us, you know? There is a danger to what
that's what I was saying. Yeah, like guys that, you know, they've had their manhood affronted somehow.
Yeah.
It's like an effrontery, so now they've got to, like, get. Yeah. That's the thing I would worry more about, like, somebody wanting payback because you scared them.
Because,
you know, there's people like that. They get mad when they want to punch you right away because you scared them, you know? My reaction is always, like, I get scared and then I just start laughing. Like, you know, it's
right,
like,
and we love that. That's awesome.
Give me 1 second. I got to take a quick break, guys. Sorry. 1 second. Okay, guys, sorry for that quick break. My lovely wife just came home. So we were talking about not getting punched in the face when you're... Has anyone ever laid hands on you guys? I mean, is that something that happens? Like, people push you or just... And
you get shoved. You get...
What do you do?
Yeah.
You can't really do anything.
Do your best to keep your cool.
Yeah. I mean, but once they touch you, they're out. You just got to find the park security, and there's no ifs, ands, buts. Time for explanation. Yeah. Grab. Out.
That's good.
Because shove me, you're probably going to go into a maze and punch a girl in a mask. And we need you out before then. So
you also learn how to read people. Like, you could tell the difference between somebody when you scare them and they throw their hands up and smack you in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you scare somebody and they take that minute to think about what they're doing and then swing on you.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell the difference. Yeah. I've had people that I've come up and scared and they... swing their hands.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean.
They smack me in the face, and it's like, oh, you know what? Just be prepared all night. People are going to be jumping out.
Happening, just
that's
so you know.
I'm
you know?
Like, what is in these people's heads when they're deciding to punch, like, the guys that they went to get scared by?
Yeah, you're mad. It's like, you're mad. It's like, hey, it's like the age-old thing, like, people that send back a mojito because it's too sweet. Like, what did you think? What did you think you were? What did you think you were ordering? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
no,
there's cheese on my cheeseburger. Like, what? You know? Send it back. You know, what? Why? Why is that even an option?
I'm gonna speak for both me and Angel here. How many times have you been told, "Stop! I don't want to be scared," as they walk by you?
I can't.
Already inside your theme park.
I can't even care.
Why?
That's one of the top Shanzi. Things. Yeah. Stop. I don't want to be scared. You realize you came to a scary event.
How long is your... Oh, that's so dumb. People just... I know. How long is a typical shift for you guys?
We get there at about 5. It's getting the costuming and makeup and all that good stuff. And depending on the night... 1 o'clock, 1:30, 2 o'clock, depending. I mean,
you guys ever hit Denny's in your costumes?
Yes.
No, I go home.
No, we went a couple times when we first started.
Okay, yeah.
Remember, it was me, you. We'd go to the Denny's right there in Long Beach and be afraid we were going to get shot.
Yep. As zombies?
A lot of crackheads out at 2 a.m.
Yeah, do you remember the one that jumped in the back of the truck and didn't want to get out?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I forgot about that story.
While you were dressed as a monster?
Yeah.
They wanted to go to hell.
Actually, one of our buddies who works at Queen Mary with us, he was injured while working, and they took him to the hospital. So at the end of our shift, they come out, and they're like, hey, he got taken to the hospital. The group of sliders, we didn't take off we took off our costumes, but none of us took off our prosthetics. I had a full werewolf prosthetic on, our makeup. We just all jumped in our cars and took off. And I would have the expression on the nurse's face as we walk into the hospital. the doors open, whoosh, yeah. And in walks eight guys with face makeup on, and the nurse just kind of looks up and she's like,
yeah. She's not sure if she's about to be full or.
I personally love going places in my makeup. Yeah. Like when I'm done, I'm the guy who doesn't take it off. I'm like, no, I'm gonna wear it. I'll go to the gas station, go order food. Like, I like that insta scare. You know, nothing like pulling up to, you know, Jack in the Box, and the guy's like 12:30.
Yeah, it's like that guy who does the. I don't know if you've ever seen the guy. He does the drive-through pranks.
Oh, yeah.
He's like a magician. He's done like a levitating cup, and does like the money where it catches on fire. And then he got more elaborate to where he builds like a rig, so he's driving the car. But it looks, he's got a costume on that looks like the car seat. So they'll go like 7, you know, they're just like 7:30, and there's no one there, like, oh my God! And you just see him like yelling, come over here, you guys, look at this. And they're like, that's 7:35. Okay, just throw the burger in the car. And then people just throw it in the car and he just drives off. It's so funny. It's the funniest thing. And he tries to like, he purposely. Like, I think he purposely goes to the spots where it's like he knows he's going to get the best reaction. And so it's like you kind of feel racist because he goes to like, he's like, he'll go to like spots where he knows it's like these young, like black girls working and they're like, oh my, you know, they're just doing like, ah, and they're like screaming and he's like, are you purposely going here? You know what I mean? But at the same time, it's like he's getting the good reactions. Okay. So you're kind of like, oh. You know?
So since you brought this up, I'm going to be the first to say, both me and Angel, we are not racist guys at all. We have friends.
Every racist story starts this way.
Well, no, this is why. Because I'm going to make some categorizations here. And I want to let it be known
observations
that we have friends of every race, color, creed.
Here it comes.
All the way around, all right? But hands down, African-American people are the funnest people to scare. I hate to say it. They are just the most reactive. Like, I scared this 45-year-old, you know, black lady, and it was just like, oh, Lord, good Lord, Lordy Lord. Oh, he scared me. Oh, God. Like, she fell backwards into her family, knocked over like six of them. They're all on the ground, and she's still screaming. I'm sorry, that's funny.
Yeah.
Okay, it was nothing personal, but it's funny. On the other hand, Asian people, nothing scares them. You run up, they take your picture. I hate to say it, happens all the time.
Lauren, you're half Asian, is that true?
I'm scared of everything.
That's the white half.
Well, it's Asians in their horror movies.
Asian horror movies are way scarier.
Yeah, they're intense. Yeah. They scare us.
If it is not like a 200-foot giant lizard, they are not running from it. All right?
Cultural differences, completely legitimate.
Yeah.
You know, the most racist.
It's not about race, it's about culture.
The most racist show I've ever done.
Hispanics.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Most difficult to
Hispanics,
scare.
No. Not most difficult. They're the ones that have the ego, unfortunately.
You know what? Honest to God, I will say it went. And I'm full disclosure. When I said, "Are there people that want to punch you afterward?" You know who I had in my mind. I'm not gonna say it because we're in Whittier.
It's all the guys. It's Charles. I ain't gonna say it either. But it's the guys that walk up to you and go, "Lakers."
Hey.
Hey.
What? Hey.
I resemble that remark.
Lakers, Raiders, get
yes.
it right.
Well, the Lakers and Raiders,
say,
I'm okay with.
Yeah, but it's okay. But here's the thing, guys. And this is what I say to all the Dodger fans. This is what I say to all the Angels fans. When I say things like that, it's okay.
we're okay. We're allowed to say
it. You know what I mean? But when they say it, I'm like, what? Like, I'll say the most racist.
Well, that's the
same as
like, I'll be like,
a black person allowed to use the N-word.
Yeah.
They're allowed to use it.
I will see. I will say the worst, most jacked up things about Dodgers fans. Like this stupid Mexican bringing in his, you know, sneaking in snacks. Like, you know, then somebody else says it. Like some Angels like, "Who are you guys? Did you sneak in a hot dog?" What? How dare you? How dare you? It's an affront, and then I'm like going on. Like,
and then you punch him.
And then I punch him.
There you go.
Because my ego.
At the same time, you jump out, you scare a 5'2" Hispanic female. I've seen her pick up that 6'4", 300-pound cholo and put him between me and her. And he's got the same look on his face like, how'd she do that?
So let's rank them in order of racism. I'm just totally kidding. I'm totally trying to bring it back to racism. But no, I mean, dude, I think we'll it's... you're right, Connie, you're right. It's cultural. There's a reason that Mexican people take babies to the movie theater. Like, there's something cultural. Like, Nicole's always, like, mystified. Like, Nicole's like, we're going to see, we're here to see.
Yeah, I saw The Conjuring, and there were so many families. I'm like,
wow. Yeah, that's just Mexican. My uncle took me to see Scarface when I was 11. I shouldn't see people cut with a chainsaw, but it's like.
Hey, you know, that's my good. I am good buddies with that guy, yeah. Pepe Serna.
He is a
good friend of mine. Yeah. I love that guy. Pepe, if you're listening, I love you, man.
I hope he's listening. That's awesome. That would be great. That's some muscle right there.
I love that guy.
Get Oscar to listen. But, we're scared of, and I always bring this up, this comes up with Lauren, that we always talk about cultural difference. We've talked about this before. This comes up on whenever you're on, but like, it's the weirdest things. It's like, it's even something weird. Like, oh, I can't go to bed with my hair wet because you're Mexican. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Don't go to bed. You're gonna wake up sick.
When I was in college, my roommates would go to sleep with wet hair. And I'd be like, you can't do that. I was in college.
Is it something your parents tell you?
If it's a Mexican thing. You get sick. You're gonna get sick.
Yeah.
Lauren's face.
It defies medical science.
There's no such thing as science in the
Mexican. No, it took me
a long time before I could
things.
Go to bed with my hair wet.
Mexico's this weird place where science and magic kind of coexist.
Mister, I'm going to put a cigarette in my ear.
Cigarettes in your ear.
Wait, hold on.
If you have an earache, you light a cigarette, you put it in your ear, it sucks out the moisture in your ear.
One day this guy tells me, hey, can I have a cigarette? Dude, you don't smoke. He's like, no, I got an ear infection.
I need the moisture out of there.
All right, man, here you go. And there he is. He's sitting there with a cigarette in his ear.
Please tell me he's doing the thing where he takes it out every once in a while. And then he puts it back.
Yeah, you do it, blow on it a little bit to get it going again, then you put it back in there.
I've heard there's an old trick they would do with my grandma did it. You take you make a cone out of a piece of paper and then do the thing, and then it's supposed to pull all the moisture out.
Something like that. Or
the thing with
effect.
the penny with the candle on it and the shot the glass over it on the back to take out the
batter. Oh, the Miyagi? Do the Miyagi? The Miyagi does it in the new Karate Kid movie. Jackie Chan does
the flame in the bowl.
Yeah. It's like, yeah.
They suck the bad air out.
Yeah. Out with the bad air. What were we going to say, Lauren?
I was going to say, it's like talking about like all these kind of, I don't know, like mysticism things, like, you know, little like homeopathic cures. My good girlfriend, whose family's all from like Guadalajara, her older brother and like both boys were just like really rambunctious and got in a lot of trouble in high school. And so like the aunt was like, Olga, that's the mom's name, you need to get the boys to see an exorcist. They are so bad. And Olga, the mom, is like, no, we're not going to do that. And then all the aunts were like, no, it's really going to be the best for them. But I hear that, and I think of things like, do you really think that's going to be the cure for their behavioral problems, you know?
They got a demon. They got a demon in them.
Yeah, magical, like, cause of this.
All you got to
do
is Santa Sana.
Sana, yeah.
There you go. You'll be all right.
It's like La Bamba. You wake up and there's a rattlesnake right there, and you're just like, what? I'm Mexico. I have a tattoo. There's like a curandero right there. Like, it's all.
Around my house, we refer to that as Mexican voodoo.
Yeah. It
works.
But yeah, I think that all carries in. You're carrying. So when you're walking through a maze, you're literally carrying all that in with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Any culture that's walking in with that is carrying all that with them. So it's like that. It's like the machismo, like the Mexican machismo. Like, yeah, you're not going to let this guy. You're not going to punk me. You're not going to make me look
exactly,
foolish.
Yeah.
And now I have to fight you. Like,
right.
it's like, even if it's not, these guys could have never set foot in Mexico, but that's where it comes from. It's like that machismo idea that, oh, you scared me, and you made me look bad, and now you did it in front of my girlfriend or my friends or whatever. So now we have to have it. But that's the whole point. Like, you don't, they don't stop to think like, well, wait, I got paid you know, that means you, first of all, it's got to be deeply satisfying because it means you got them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You always feel better when you get the big guy.
Yeah, but then
when you get the little
like,
girl.
Cause... I would be the least satisfying scare because I would just be like, I just be walking around like, hey, mommy, like, what? Don't scare me. Don't scare me. I'm the biggest wuss on the face. Remember when we went to see Cabin in the Woods?
Yeah.
And she was doing the thing where there's a spoiler alert, there's a scene where she makes out with the wolf thing.
Yeah.
And I was waiting for her to snap her face off.
So
do you remember me in the theater? Yeah. I was like, I hate you, Lauren. I hate you. And then nothing happened and she's all, I look over and she just goes,
really?
And I was like, oh, wanted to punch you in the face.
Smug, yeah.
Yeah, you're all smug because you had seen it before. And then later on, you're all, yeah, that scene did that to me too. But she wouldn't tell me at first.
No.
So do you guys, we're going to try to start getting towards a wrap up. What do you guys, for like first timers that have never been to a Halloween haunt, where do you recommend them going? Do you recommend Knott's? Do you recommend Universal? Do you recommend...
That was kind of
sad. Yeah, I mean, again, like I said, they all have their good points. Yeah. If you want...
quantity.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you want to just go to a haunted event, Queen Mary, it's affordable, it's a good time. If you want to go and see really great props and sets and walk through and feel like you're in a movie, you want to go to Universal. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you want to go and get scared but also have some rides and some shows... then you want to go to Halloween Haunt.
Mm-hmm.
So you just kind of decide on what you want to spend and what you want to do, what you want to get out of your night. They all have great people that work there. Again, we have friends that work at all the theme parks.
Yeah.
Coming from, I mean, there's a kind of a subculture.
Yeah.
If you're a monster, whether you work Dark Harbor, Shipwreck, Halloween Haunt, Horror Nights, if you're a monster, you're a monster. We know
we have a friend in common who, mm-hmm. who would live for it every year. She's a vampire at Halloween Haunt.
Yeah.
Angie's her name.
Angie.
We'll give her name off the air. We'll talk about. But yeah,
I might know her.
Our circles would definitely cross.
Yeah.
Your circles would. But yeah, she would live for it every summer. Yeah. She'd be like, Halloween Haunt's only. We'd be in the middle of summer. And she'd be like, it's coming up. It's coming up.
We have a saying. We come about the middle of October. We're battered. We're bruised. We're sore.
Yeah.
We still got makeup on our eyes that we haven't scrubbed off from the night before.
I still have a ringing in my ears.
And we're saying is, God, I'm so tired. I'm so beat up. But come October 31st, we close down. And as we're undressing for that final night, we're already talking about, damn, I can't wait till next year. Next year's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Like, these guys that I've worked with throughout my career, some of the greatest guys I've ever worked with, like, they've all become personal friends. But it's because we all share this common drive that brings us back every year. These guys, I don't talk to them for a whole year. But when we come back, we're right there. They're side by side with us, backing us up. We're watching each other's backs. Like we were talking about getting hit. It's all about letting all the other monsters in your area being friends with them.
Because
if they don't got your back, you're going to be screwed.
Kind of like
yeah, you know, you got to an extent, it's guards versus inmates, you know, and the inmates outnumber the guards. Because
that is a great way of putting it. I never,
For example, you know, Knott's holds 30,000 people. And there's 2,000 monsters, you know? So we're outnumbered.
My God. You know, it's like I Am Legend. You're the, now it's the roles are reversed. You're the monster, but you're really not the monster.
Right.
Yeah.
Technically, if all the people were to turn on us, we'd be outnumbered. So you get a tight bond with the people you work with, whether, like I said, no matter what theme park it is, You feel each other's pains.
Have you ever seen anything escalate, like a scuffle or whatever? Like somebody got hit or it turned into a fight that other people got involved in?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of times it's not us so much as guests turning on other guests.
Oh, okay.
But occasionally we'll get in the mix and we get dragged into it.
There's like monsters fighting.
It'll be guests fighting.
Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
So be good. If For goodness sakes.
You can keep the $5. I've had it.
Somebody's coming.
That was your big plan. Get it.
I'll tell you the effect. It's pissing me off.
I will, mister.
Is that true? Yeah, it's true. This man has no dick.
They hate this. That's always my favorite.
That's right. Vickman's here.
To this day, broken plate, something happens at a restaurant, anything goes to shit, somebody knocks something over.
The flowers are still standing.
The flowers are still standing.
What is that from?
Ghostbusters.
Wait a minute. I've always wanted to do this. We could just sit here and quote Ghostbusters for their next. For Sue, I know you're listening. I was just going to say, 8 o'clock? All right. That's us. That's my friend Sue, owns a comic book store. We do that. One day we just did it. It was randomly because she said 8 o'clock. And then I said, I was just going to say. And then she did it. She's like, 8 o'clock? I was like, high five. You know,
nice.
Ghostbusters. All right, guys, we're gonna say goodbye. Do you guys have any final thoughts? Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us. This was a lot of fun.
You know what's great? Two hours, not even enough. Like, I feel we could have really talked about a lot more. We hardly hit on the topics you guys brought.
Yeah, I gotta go scare people tonight. So,
so you guys are on duty tonight?
Yeah, on duty tonight and tomorrow.
And you're working where this year?
Queen Mary's Dark Harbor.
So this is our buddy Angel. And Angel, so do you recommend? What are you dressed as this year so people can look out for you?
This year we are doing mime/clowns because we have a new maze called The Circus.
Terrifying. All right.
The Spruce Goose Dome. So we've got a real party atmosphere this year. It's you still get all the amazing mazes. You can still go on the ship and go through those mazes, which are creepy as hell. I don't go through them.
The ship itself, like the ship itself is Queen Mary itself is haunted. Already like,
it's,
yeah.
It's completely haunted. I have no doubt.
It was the freakiest in that list. LA Weekly, it was called the freakiest.
You know what? It's totally, awesome. Totally.
That's him this year.
Oh my God, I just saw a picture. Please send these to me. That is absolutely awful. I will not be going, but my dog Ricky will be there. Yes. I would take Ricky with me to like.
That's me. That's me, the clown. Yeah, no, it's a real party atmosphere.
Oh, awesome.
A lot of shows, a lot of good food. It's like LA well. Carnival food. We have it everywhere. There's a zip line this year.
I got footage of that.
Back and forth. Just tons of fun. So come on, it's cheap. Cheapest haunt in town.
That's good, though, but you still get scared.
That's great.
Absolutely.
You still get scared and all that good stuff. Tawny, do you have any final thoughts?
Oh, gosh. No, I just had a really good time today.
Anything you want to recommend to the kids at home to watch tonight? It's
to
a scary
watch
movie.
Tonight? How about everyone go read Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark?
No.
Yeah.
I think this episode's going to drop. No, it won't drop in time, so I'm going to drop it in. But for you guys in the room, I don't know if you guys ever watched Mystery Science Theater.
Yes.
Yeah.
The guys from Mystery Science Theater, Riff Tracks, they broke off into Riff Tracks. They're going to be doing a live stream of Night of the Living Dead on October 24th. It's going to be one of those Fathom events.
Nice.
So if you guys aren't working, get down there. I went to see Starship Troopers last month, and it was hilarious.
How was it?
It was so funny. Denise Richards took a pounding. Oh, my God. I think my favorite line is one of those where they just showed her giving that blank smile, and one of them just goes, I can fit a whole can of tuna in my mouth. That just... I was dying. It was the best. Lauren, any final thoughts? We didn't even get to New Orleans and how scary New Orleans is because you lived in New Orleans for a time.
Yeah. It's so much fun. Holy
what is Halloween in New Orleans like?
That actually was going to be one of my favorite Halloween memories.
It to us real quick.
I mean, because the whole town is such like a party atmosphere all the time. And like for Halloween, it's no exception. And people really take it seriously. Like they do with Mardi Gras. Costumes are just like so crazy. And there's just like wild like street performances. Like people will like do like, you know... Like, that's not hula hooping, like a hoop dancing where it's like on fire. People are, it's like definitely like a trip out kind of atmosphere. You know what I mean?
Kind of like a Burning Man kind of atmosphere.
Yeah, I would imagine. Like, it seems like that. And like, everyone is just so into it. And like, one year me and my girlfriends went, and then we thought we had the cutest costume. Like, we had coordinated to do like synchronized swimmers. So we had like kind of vintage yellow, like one piece bathing suits, pink, like floral swim caps. And we're like, oh, this is so charming and adorable. And it looked really cute, but then everyone kept coming up to us, and we got kind of embarrassed. They were like, are you the Nuva Ring girls? Like, the contraception. And I was like, oh, my God, no, we're singing this. Yeah, from the commercial. I was like, they were supposed to be that. That's too bad.
Damn, when a good idea is go wrong.
That is awesome.
Oh my god.
Tony, any final thoughts, words?
Oh,
you have a picture of it?
I have a picture of my scary clown costume because he showed me his.
Ooh, I like it.
You guys are, this is awesome. It's escalating. Oh, yeah?
Very nice.
It's because, can you top that with pictures?
What are you guys going
to do? No, I had a great time here. Go check out Dark Harbor. I had the privilege of being there one night this year, and I had a blast. A lot of cool stuff going on out there. And the only thing I could say is, love and respect your monsters. They are out there doing a job that is hard, and they're doing it because they love it. Don't hit them. Don't touch them. Don't yell at them. Don't come up and be the jerk who goes, ah, I got you, because you didn't.
You really
That's
did.
My advice.
No matter how many times you think you tried, you didn't.
And quit telling us, hey, scare my friend.
Angel, any final thoughts?
Yeah, exactly what Tony said. Just go and enjoy it, man. It's the safest way to feel that rush of, you know, life in you. To get scared to the point of death is just, it's a total rush.
Yeah.
You're not going to get it except for when the time you actually die. So.
Which is going to suck.
It's going to suck at that point. This time, it doesn't suck. Enjoy it.
Just real quick around the room before we say goodbye, what's your Halloween costume this year, Lauren?
Two ideas. One is to be like from Something Wicked This Way Comes, like the dark, like carnival master, you know?
Nice.
Yeah. And then the other one I was laughing about, like last night with Thomas, if we went as a like a couple costume, we would go as those people who like paint themselves silver or gold and pretend to be like statues. That would be funny though.
You're going, I'm sure you guys are going you guys go to costume parties in your gear, or do you guys come up with something else? Something separate.
Usually we do something totally different because we're in our gear all the time. We want to do something different. Because I'll be working at my night job, I believe I'm going to be Snake Plissken this year.
Oh, my God. Escape from New York.
Escape from
New
York.
That's good.
Beautiful.
It's something I can do without makeup and all that good stuff.
All you need is an eye patch.
Yep, some camo pants, and I'm set.
There it is.
Angel?
Definitely Doctor Who.
Oh,
which one?
Probably 10.
My wife and I were going to do a family this year, Doctor Who family.
Nice.
I was going to be Tom Baker because I found a scarf last year, the Tom Baker scarf. My wife was going to be the 10th Doctor, and then we're going to make my daughter Matt Smith. But my daughter's like, I want to be a Halloween fairy. I'm like, oh, you ruined it.
To make her a weeping angel.
Yeah, right.
You're a fairy, honey. A big gray fairy.
Don't blink. Why is nobody blinking? How about you, Tawny? What's your baby going to be?
My baby's not going to be born yet.
No, you're Holden.
Oh, Holden. Holden's going to be a shark.
Awesome.
Oh, that's cute.
For Shark Week?
Trying to get him pumped up, because when he first saw the costume, he said, don't like it. Try something else. And then he made me put it away. So I've been talking it up.
Some jaws.
Yeah.
He's really into whales right now.
I think we need a bigger boat.
Just tell him it's a whale.
Right?
It's a whale shark. Yeah. You're fine.
Your wing is Roy Shark.
And I bought myself some comfy skeleton pajamas. So.
There you go. Nice, nice. I bought a Gizmonics patch, and I bought a red jumpsuit, and I'll be going as Joel from Mystery Science Theater. So.
Nice.
All I needed was a patch and a jumpsuit, man. It was easy. So, all right, guys. Well, happy Halloween to all of our listeners. I'll drop all our information in during the break, so that this will have already happened. It's like you're in your own little time loop, kids. How's that for scary? So with that, guys, happy Halloween to everybody. Be safe. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks, or probably next week, with another great episode. Until then, this transmission ends now.